Will you remain standing as we pray? Lord, we stand here on holy ground, acknowledging, Lord, that you are holy, that your name stands above all others, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, in heaven and on earth. So, Lord, we come as your people to bring honour and glory to you in all that we do and all that we say, and in our worship of you this morning, Lord. As we hear your message this morning, may we be encouraged to be your light bearers, because the world needs to know that you are holy, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and most importantly, that you love them and you want to welcome them home. So be with us, Lord, as we look at your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Last week, we discussed the importance of heavenly wisdom, of aligning our lives with God's principles and living a life characterized by purity, peace, love, mercy, and justice. We emphasized prioritizing eternal values and outcomes, measuring the success of our lives by our faithfulness to God and our impact on others. Today we're going to focus on our commitment to our purpose and calling as light bearers of the message, light bearers of the message of love to the world. Spreading the life-giving message of the gospel is a fundamental part of running the Christian race. Just as the Olympic torch is carried by runners across nations, we are called to carry the light of Christ to the world around us. This involves sharing the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ and living out our faith in a way that attracts others to him. As we make the decision to surrender our lives totally to Jesus and confess our hidden sins, his spirit within transforms us more and more into the likeness of Jesus. This dedication to God and subsequent inward cleansing lead to sharing his love with others in word and in deed. When we look to Jesus, we can accomplish great things for him and the kingdom. Thanks, Wendy. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, we hear these words. We have all these great people around us as examples. Their lives tell us what faith means. So we too should run the race that is before us and never quit. We should remove from our lives anything that would slow us down and the sin that often makes us fall. We must never stop looking to Jesus. He is the leader of our faith, and he is the one who makes our faith complete. He suffered death on a cross, but he accepted the shame of the cross as if it were nothing because of the joy he could see waiting for him. And now he is sitting at the right side of God's throne. Think about Jesus. He patiently endured the angry insults that sinful people were shouting at him. Think about him so that you won't be discouraged and stop trying. In this verse, we are urged to throw off the sin that makes us fall and run the faith race, keeping our eyes firmly focused on Jesus. The story before we saw on the screen was about Peter, who decided and said, "Can I come to you, Lord? If it's really you, can I come to you?" And Jesus said, "Yeah, come on, come out of the boat and walk over to me." And he did. It was pretty amazing. But then what happened? He took his eyes off Jesus and he looked at all the things that were around him, the storm around him, and he began to sink. And Jesus put out his hand to save him and said, "Oh, you of little faith." Do we have faith? Really strong faith, faith to keep going, faith to keep going on despite all the things that are going on around us, and to run this race. Now, running a race, I looked up on the internet, as you do these days, somebody's advice for running. Now, I'm not much of a runner these days, but there were some five things that a runner needs. Now, let's hope I can remember them as I go over here. You'll see I brought these things because sometimes it's good to see things because it helps us to remember. Now, trusty, what do we need? Trusty old running shoes. Now, these are my old ones. So they don't get much use these days because they don't do much running or walking. But anyway, good comfy shoes, good quality shoes that can keep us going. What else do we need? Oh, well, look at these things. What is this? We need to make, yeah, good for you. We need to make sure we eat. Yeah, runners need to make sure they have good quality shoes. They eat well. Now, this lady said, what you need is also a good app. Now, we know we've got lots of apps on our phones these days, but a good app that tells you all about how you're going, gives you some advice on how to start so you don't start too soon when you first start running. You've got to go slowly. And I don't know about you, but on my watch that I have here, it takes my heart rate, it takes all those kind of things, so you kind of know. So a good app is what she recommends. Now, you need to have a purpose, a goal. You can see the goals here. We want to go through the big goal, the big sticks, not the side ones. Our goal, something to head towards. And also, we're trophy at the end. We've got to keep going, keep knowing that there's something at the end. So they're the things I brought just to show us, to help us to remember. So good fitting shoes. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 15, to put on the shoes of peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Just like runners need good shoes for support and stability, we need the peace that comes from knowing the good news about Jesus. This peace helps us stay strong and steady in our faith, keeping us from stumbling when life gets tough. Without this solid foundation, we can become weak and easily fall into doubt and temptation. So having God's peace is like wearing the perfect pair of shoes that keep us moving forward confidently in our faith. And if you look on this table, you'll see some of the things that I'm talking about. Peace. The peace that comes from the good news. Now, eating right. Just like runners need good food to stay healthy and perform well, we need spiritual food to grow and stay strong in the faith. This means reading the Bible and praying regularly. The Bible gives us the strength and guidance we need, especially when times are tough. We're also encouraged to pray all the time in every situation, staying in constant communication with God. Just like a balanced diet keeps our bodies healthy, regularly feeding on God's word and prayer keeps our spirits healthy and vibrant. We talked about having a good app, didn't we? Well, that's what the lady talked about. She's the runner that's running. Just like runners use apps to track their pace, distance and performance, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us in our race of faith. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom, comfort and direction. He helps us make good choices, shows us when we've done wrong and helps us grow closer to God. Just as runners depend on their apps, we can rely on the Holy Spirit for help and strength in every part of our race. And remember, races aren't straight, always flat, are they? Sometimes they've got to go uphill. Sometimes you've got to go downhill. For me, sometimes that's even harder, going downhill. So there's lots of different things. So the Holy Spirit helps us in every part of the race. Okay, we have to watch our pace, how we're going. Endurance is critical in running a race. Because what do we want to do? Get to the goal, get to the end. Similarly, living as a Christian requires endurance because we face challenges, hardships, and temptations. Like a runner, we need to pace ourselves and rely on God's strength to keep going and overcome obstacles. When we feel like giving up, we can draw on God's power to keep moving forward smoothly and efficiently towards our goal. Hallelujah. Runners might be motivated by personal achievement, fitness, competition, the prize at the end. In our Christian race, our motivation is to honour God, grow closer to Him, and live out His plans for our lives. We also strive to love others like Jesus did and share in His mission to spread the good news. Remembering Jesus' sacrifice and example inspires us to keep going, even when things do get tough. Our ultimate prize isn't a medal or a trophy, but it's a heavenly inheritance, which gives us hope and strength to keep moving forward. So putting these principles in practice helps us run our Christian race with endurance, perseverance, and faith, keeping our focus on Jesus, who helps us grow in our faith. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. By following these principles that we talked about, we train ourselves to stay spiritually strong and focused, ensuring we can effectively share the gospel with others without losing our own way. And that's our mission, isn't it? To share the gospel. And my prayer, as I've said before, for the last year in our prayer meetings has been for revival. I want to see revival. I want to see people's hearts changed. I want to see people of our communities coming back to God, our country, our community, our leaders. And we've talked about revival beginning with focusing our hearts and minds on God. Just like a runner looks ahead at the finish line, we fix our eyes on God. And just like Peter needed to do, fix his eyes, keep his eyes on Jesus and not look at what was around him. We need to keep our eyes fixed on God, seeking His presence and His guidance in our lives. So that's the beginning. Fixing our eyes on God. He's the most important. And then dedicating ourselves to God and allowing His Spirit to transform us from the inside out. That's how revival happens. When it happens, starts with us. The Spirit transforming us. It's like preparing our bodies for a race by training and eating right, as we've talked about. We surrender our lives to God, allowing Him to mould us into who He wants us to be. And we talked about that a lot last week. And then, upward, inward, outward. Just as a runner puts their training into action on the race day, we are called to put our faith into action by sharing the good news of Jesus with others. This involves living out our faith in a way that attracts others to God, showing His love and grace through our actions and words. So, in summary, revival starts with focusing on God, allowing Him to change us, and then overflowing with His love and sharing it with others. It's like carrying a torch in a race, showing others the light of Christ. We do this by telling people about Jesus and living in a way that shows His love. I'm inspired by the story that we read in Jonah. The story of redemption of the people of Nineveh. There's several lessons in this story that for us. Now, I don't know about you, but one thing that really stood out to me when I was reading that Jonah chapter 3 was how big this city was. How many days did it take to walk around it? Good, 3 days to walk around. So it's a huge city. So I'm inspired by the fact that God's word can change a city that big. Everybody was involved in it. What this story reminds me of, the story of Jonah delivering God's message, is that God needs deliverers. He needs people like you and I that are going to deliver the message. Just as God needed Jonah to deliver his message to the people of Nineveh, he also needs us to deliver his message of redemption to others. That doesn't mean we have to stand on a soapbox in the middle of the street and call out. Maybe we'll be called to do that, but maybe not. But others, what does that mean? People in your household, people you work with. Because the statistics would say that more people are brought to God through one-on-one interaction than any other way. So it's us just living, speaking the message to others. Like Jonah, we may have reservations or preconceived notions about who deserves to hear the message, but the truth is that God's love extends to all people, and he desires for everyone to hear and respond to the gospel. Sin is universal, and all people, including us, need God's grace and forgiveness. This reminds us to approach our witness with humility, recognizing that we are all sinners in need of God's forgiveness. Jonah's story highlights the importance of obedience in our witness. It challenges us to be obedient to God's call to share the gospel, even when it may be difficult or uncomfortable. God needs us to carry on his mission to reach the world with his life-changing love. What would have happened if Jonah had not delivered God's message? A whole city would have been lost. Jonah's message kick-started an amazing transformation in Nineveh. It was a simple, short message, but it kick-started an amazing transformation. All the people of Nineveh, from the king to the commoners, repented of their sins, fasted, wore sackcloth as a sign of repentance. So all of them, the king, he was the one, he started it. He said, everybody, this is what I want you to do to show that we're sorry. And I want you to stop doing those evil things that you do and show that you're sorry. And who knows, maybe God will change his mind. This was a heartfelt repentance. It wasn't just saying, oh yeah, Lord, I'm sorry. It was they were really serious about it. They fasted. They didn't eat. They put on this sackcloth. They were very sorry for their sins. And they repented of their sins. And this repentance, this heartfelt repentance of the Ninevites led to their redemption and the sparing of the whole city. Wow, this blows my mind when I think about it. Do you think it can happen in our time, in our world, in our place, in our country? Yeah, do we have faith? Is that what Jesus said to Peter? Oh, you have such little faith. We need to start believing it. Because there's transformation and power that comes from hearing God's word. The transformation, the power of transformation and repentance, and the impact it can have on individuals and communities is what we can see in this story. This encourages me, and I hope it encourages you, to proclaim the message of repentance and forgiveness through Christ Jesus, and knowing that it can change lives and bring about reconciliation with God. There is amazing power in God's word, and it can bring repentance. It can bring forgiveness. It can bring salvation. It can bring new life. Friends, the word of God is living and active. It is living and active. It is the power of God at work to save everyone who believes. God's word produces fruit wherever it goes. So let's remember and understand that God's word is powerful and always achieves its purpose. When God speaks, things happen, and his word never fails. It accomplishes everything that God intends, and it succeeds wherever he sends it. Just like a farmer's seed grows into a plant, God's word brings about results according to his plan. This reminds us that God is in control of all things, including the outcome of our witness. We might never see the outcome of our witness, but that's okay. We're called to witness because God will bring something good from it. Because his word, because when his seeds of God's word goes out, they grow. Amen. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord. Now, Jonah was afraid of the people of Nineveh and he was indifferent to their plight. He actually wanted to see them punished and destroyed. He was ticked off at God for sparing them. Friends, we live in a world full of sin, countercultural to the ways of God, unjust, unforgiving, and quite frankly, frightening. But we know that there is a better way, and we can't keep this to ourselves. Your family, your friends, your workmates, your community needs to hear God's transforming word before it's too late. I don't know about you, but I want to see revival. I want to see a lifting out of spiritual indifference and worldliness and a turning of hearts back to God. I want to see reconciliation and transformation just like in Nineveh. Is that what you want to see? Do you believe it can happen? That doesn't sound very convincing. Do you believe it can happen? By sharing the good news, living as examples, praying for others, using our gifts and persevering in love, we to participate in God's mission to reconcile the world to himself through Jesus Christ. So friends, let us run this race of faith with boldness, fixing our eyes on Jesus alone. Let us cast off everything that hinders, shining the light of Jesus brightly for all to see. Because the light shines in the darkness and the darkness can never extinguish it. It's time to recommit to our mission, spreading the life-changing message of Jesus through our words and actions. Will you step out in faith with me, knowing that God's word never fails and always accomplishes his purposes? May God bless us this morning as we determine to step out for him, to run this race, to carry this torch, so that others may know his love and his forgiveness. I guess that leads beautifully into our communion this morning.